Hi, thanks so much for taking a few minutes out of your busy day to just hang out with me and give me an opportunity to share some things that have just been on my heart to give you guys. You know, over the past few months, the Lord's been showing me some very interesting things concerning His commitment to helping us get to that place of destiny and just abundant life that Jesus has made available to us. And I don't know about you, but you know, when I get to the end of a year and look to start a new year, you can't help but look and kind of evaluate where you are and where you've been and kind of what you've accomplished as the year is coming to a close. And I know for many of us, there's this kind of, I don't know, dissatisfaction, I guess I'd call it. You know, we feel like there's more that the Lord is wanting for us to accomplish. And I think we all know that. I think it's just something that is so, you know, we're so used to feeling that way. And I know for many of us, it's been a kind of a tough season where it's just felt like we weren't getting anywhere, or wherever we were getting, it was happening so slowly and with such difficulty that, you know, sometimes you sit back and wonder, well, what's happening? You know, why is there so much struggle? Why do I feel like that I've got so much opposition, so many hindrances, so many things that seem to be pushing back against the things that I know the Lord has promised, right? We all have these awesome prophetic words that we've received from the Lord, and many of us are believing and warring with them and declaring and just doing what we know to do. And I'm not saying that we're doing anything necessarily wrong, but a few months back, the Lord began to open my eyes to something that really honestly blew me away when I realized the implications of it. Because what I believe He's showing me prophetically is that we're now entering a season where we can actually position ourselves so that He can accelerate us supernaturally to wherever that place is that we were supposed to be, okay? Listen, you know, the prophetic word is always going to be tested. Your destiny is always going to be tested because the enemy simply doesn't want it to come to pass. Every one of us has been given something to carry in the spirit for the kingdom, for advancing the kingdom, for releasing blessing on the face of the earth, you know, bringing that level of transformation that is equal to heaven coming to earth. And you know, that's a huge emphasis that we carry here, is seeing heaven manifesting on earth. As in heaven, so on earth. That was the thing that Jesus so clearly said. Contend for that. Believe for heaven to be here on the earth. And I don't have time to go back over a lot of that material. I've covered it in other teachings. But what I want to really share with you today is this revelation that God gave me about how we can position ourselves to allow Him to accelerate us supernaturally into a place that perhaps we could have been or should have been at this point, but because of everything that's happened and some of the decisions that we've made that, you know, you look back and say, maybe that wasn't the best thing for me to do or the best decision to make. But I mean, the grace of God for us is so overwhelming. I just can't stress that enough. You know, he sees us through the lens of the finished work of Christ. And so, you know, we may feel like we've fallen short. We may feel like that we haven't gone the distance that we, you know, believe we should have. But the good news is that He is always ready and willing to step in and to redeem our circumstances. And so we're going to look today at John chapter 6, beginning with verse 14. We'll look at verses 14 through 21. So if you're able to, if you have your Bible handy, you might want to pop it open or open the app on your phone. I know most of us today, that's how we read the word. It's just amazing. So John 6, 14 through 21, this is the story of Jesus. After He had fed 5,000 men, and we know that there had to be at least 2 to 3 times that many there when you would count in the women and children. So he just gets finished producing this awesome miracle of feeding all these folks with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And here we pick it up in verse 14. It says, "Therefore, when the people saw the sign which he had performed, they said, 'This is truly the prophet who has come into the world.'" So Jesus, perceiving that they were intending to come and take him by force to make him king, withdrew again to the mountain by himself alone. Now when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, and after getting into a boat, they started across the sea to Capernaum. It had already become dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea began to be stirred up because a strong wind was blowing. Then, when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near to the boat, and they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Which I love when Jesus says, "Don't be afraid." Verse 21 says, "So they were willing to receive him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going." All right, so it's an amazing little story here. I personally believe, after studying this, that this is a different occasion than the one that we see recorded in the other 3 Gospels. And there's a couple of reasons why. Because in this story, Jesus, goes out by himself to hide from the people. And, you know, we don't really see that in the other stories. In the other stories, it says that he actually told them to get in the boat and that he would send the crowds away. So I believe that this story is actually a different occasion from the ones that we read in the other Gospels. And so he goes, hides from the folks. Now, think about this. This is just kind of a side note, not my main point for us today. But, you know, it's not surprising sometimes when people try to force us into a place, into a position that we're really not ready for, because they see the anointing on your life. They are experiencing the presence of God on your life. They're getting a sense of the destiny that you carry, and so they want to make a demand on that. And that's exactly what was happening here to Jesus. You know, he had just fed them miraculously, and so, you know, they're thinking in their minds, they're going, "Whoa, we need this guy, because then we're not going to have to ever worry about going hungry. He'll always, you know, bring us food, and even if it creates a miracle," you know what I mean? It's like, so they were trying to force Jesus to step into his destiny prematurely, to make him king outside of the Father's timing. And of course, he's not going to allow that, so he hides himself. And so it's something that we need to keep in mind, you know, that simply because folks are making a demand on you to function in your destiny and in the calling and the anointing that you've been given, you still need to check with Father as to timing, because it might not be the right time. And if you step into that prematurely, basically, you'll find that it's a very difficult place. You will find it so difficult because of the demands being placed on you. You're not ready. You can actually get burned out. I've been in situations where this has happened to me, and it burned me out, you know, because I didn't have the grace to stand in it. You know, you might initially have a wonderful experience of that, because, oh my gosh, people are coming and they need me and they want to be, you know, be ministered to by me. But if it's not the timing of God, you're going to find that that quickly becomes a burden that's too much to bear. And many folks, really, because of this, because they didn't have the foundation. You know, I believe a lot of the leaders that we've seen who have had such public failures over the past couple of decades, that one of the reasons for that is because they actually were launched into ministry prematurely. You know, we look at the anointing and the gifting on the person, we just assume, well, this must mean that God wants them out there, you know, healing and delivering and raising the dead and all these wonderful things that the Lord does through them. But again, without a foundation, You know, it just doesn't last. The enemy just has too many points of access with which to create pressure and to create compromise. So just something to think about for your own life. So here we see the disciples actually doing this sort of thing in a different sense. But, you know, they got to a point in this story where I'm sure they were looking for Jesus. You know, he just went and hid himself because he was not about to allow the crowd to have what they wanted. So, you know, you just kind of see them, in my mind, I see them standing around kind of, you know, waiting patiently, you know, watching the crowds disperse. But Jesus just doesn't show up. And so, you know, they start looking for him, searching around the mountain and not finding him. And so as John records the story, they decide, okay, let's go down to the sea. Maybe he's down there. They don't find him. So they get into a boat and they figure, all right, let's just go back to where we came from. We'll cross over to Capernaum and let's just see what happens. Who knows where Jesus went? You know, I just kind of, to me, it seems like they just got a little impatient and figured, yeah, let's just kind of, you know, make a decision here and we're going to go back and let's just see what happens. Well, we know what happened, right? They decided to do this. They head across the sea, and immediately they face some serious opposition. A storm comes up. The wind begins to blow. And so they're struggling and straining. They're rowing. And they get about halfway across the Sea of Galilee. Okay, the Sea of Galilee is roughly about 8 miles wide. Okay, it's not a huge body of water by most standards, but it's big enough that, you know, you can really see some pretty major effects from a storm. The winds, you know, and the waves get pretty bad. I mean, we see this from the other story where Jesus, he calmed the storm and spoke peace to the waves. But here's what's interesting. Jesus comes to them as he's, you know, walking across the sea. They are scared, but they agree to have him come into the boat. Now, John, he records it happening this way. Jesus steps into the boat, and there's no record of him speaking to the storm. Okay? Not in this story. It just simply says, you know, he says to them, it's me, don't be afraid. So they were willing to receive him into the boat. No record of him saying to the storm or to the wind to stop and the seas to calm down. Instead, we have this very interesting statement by John. Immediately, the boat was at the land to which they were going. Now, just think about that for a minute. They welcome Jesus into the boat in the midst of this windstorm, into the midst of this situation where they are not really making a whole lot of progress. And as soon as he comes into the boat, immediately, they are supernaturally transported to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Because remember, they had only rowed about 3 or 4 miles. They were only about halfway across the sea when this occurred. So in order for John to be truthful in his account, saying that immediately they were at land, the only possible explanation that I can see is that this is an instance where the Lord supernaturally transcended time and space to bring them to where they would have been if they had simply waited for Jesus. Okay. I don't know. You know, we don't know what would have happened. But what the Lord began to show me here is that there is an opportunity for us to come back into God's timing, whereby he supernaturally will bring us to that place where we could have been had things gone a little differently. You know, had we not maybe made a decision or gone a certain direction that we thought was good, we thought was right, and it ended up being more difficult than we anticipated. So I just feel like the Lord wants us to understand that he's offering prophetically an opportunity for us in this season to kind of make up for whatever time we feel has been lost. Now, again, I was saying earlier how we look at, you know, we look back on a year and we often feel like, God, I just feel like I didn't accomplish what was in my heart and what I felt you were showing me to do this year, you know. And there's a lot of reasons why that happened. We have opposition, we have struggles, we have trials, you know, we make decisions that aren't always the best. And so what are we to do? Well, I believe that this story tells us that Jesus is always waiting patiently in the midst of our circumstances for us to simply invite him into our situation so that he once again can be fully Lord over our lives. He wants us to simply trust him, okay? And I know for many of us this can be difficult because, let's face it, we've grown up in an environment, many of us, where we are used to simply making decisions based on what we think is going to be the best for our situation, right? We are used to making those kinds of decisions for ourselves. And Jesus is simply saying, hey, I want to show you a better way. I want to show you a different way from that. And so when we finally let him into the boat and say, okay, Lord, you know what? Show me. I surrender. I give you the right to set my feet in a path and in a direction that is in your timing. That's when a miracle can occur. He will come in and basically align our timeline with eternity, which is what I believe happened to the disciples at that point. The timeline that they were in got realigned with the timeline of eternity, okay? And that they were placed where they would have been had they waited on him. And I believe that that's what he wants to do for us as well. So, and you know, think about it. What grace that is for us, you know? His grace is so overwhelming. How we can rejoice over his willingness to give us that opportunity yet again, right? Come on. How many of us can say that he's the God of second, third, fourth, and fifth, and who knows how many chances because of his great love for us? He truly desires that for us nothing is lost. You know, nothing is wasted in our lives. So he wants to give us this opportunity to continue, you know, where we left off as if nothing ever happened. So how do we do this? Well, you know, as I meditated on it and said, Lord, show me what, you know, is the way in which you would have us to position ourselves so that you can do this. And he brought me back to a teaching that I had shared earlier in 2014 out of Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Very familiar passage. I'm sure many of us have quoted this and read this, and we know this passage. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. And so as we look at this particular scripture gives us kind of a roadmap. It gives us a way to understand how we can position ourselves in this season where the Lord wants to realign our temporal timeline, our earthly timeline with his eternal timeline. This is how I believe we can go about it. There may be other ways, but this is the way the Lord showed me. First of all, we've got to have a level of confidence in the Lord, and not just confidence in him, but a willingness to step out in faith. And the disciples showed us this. You know, they're in this boat, they're struggling and straining, and they're afraid. But yet, they were willing to trust Jesus. They were willing to welcome him into their situation in the midst of their fear, in the midst of the difficulty. And the Lord's saying, you can have a level of confidence in me where you're going to welcome me into the midst of the mess that maybe you and I have made, and knowing that the moment he steps in, that he's going to redeem that situation. And so we want to trust him with all our heart. Where are the areas Think of the areas in your life where you've been struggling, where it's felt like, Lord, where are you? Are you really here? Are you really, you know, working your promises on my behalf? Listen, we all struggle with that. We all face that at different times. So we need to look and just be honest and say, Lord, where are those areas that you, you know, that I'm struggling and that I haven't really given them into your hands to trust you, okay? That's the first step. Are you willing to trust him with everything? Are you willing to identify the areas where you know you need to trust him more fully? And so the second part says, don't lean on your own understanding. And isn't that our problem in a nutshell? We get into these situations and we're, you know, immediately trying to figure out, oh man, how am I going to, you know, fix this? What's the solution? How am I going to deal with this problem? Because as humans, that's what we do, right? We see a situation, we have a problem, you know, we're finding that there's too much month at the end of our money so that we don't have enough to pay the bills and to pay the rent, pay the mortgage, whatever. And so you immediately kick into this mode of, what am I going to do? How am I going to fix this problem, right? And so we start to worry. We start to look for human solutions. You know, maybe I got to get a second job or a third job or whatever. And in the meantime, we're placing ourselves in a position where now we're not trusting the Lord to show us the way. We're simply trying to make a way, force a way, find a way, you know, in our own strength. And man, that's no fun, okay? So we've got to be willing to say, okay, God, I'm not going to simply rest on and lean on my understanding of my situation and my circumstances. I've got to be willing to put that aside and say, Lord, show me, okay? So that I'm not simply making these decisions in my own strength. And I don't want to be like the disciples that are in that boat rowing and rowing and trying to get somewhere, and it's just so difficult, okay? So that's the second part. The third part says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Now, ways are just a poetic way of saying where you go, what you do, you know, the various things that you are involved in your life. That is kind of what makes up your ways. And so the Lord is saying, I want you to acknowledge me in all of the areas of your life, all the things that you are involved in and that you are engaged in. You know, in Isaiah 30, verse 21, I love this verse. It says, your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way, walk in it, whenever you turn to the right or to the left. See, that's what the Lord wants for us, because he knows. He knows what's the best way to go, because he sees it all, right? So we've got to be willing to acknowledge him in our ways so that he can do what he's just promised us in Isaiah 30, 21. You know, I'm going to speak a word. I'm going to stand behind you. I'm going to speak a word and say, nope, here's the way. You know, you try to turn right. Nope. Stay strong. Stay straight. You know, you try to turn left. Mm-mm. Okay. He wants to do that. So what does it actually mean to acknowledge him in all our ways? Well, I love this because, well, before I get to that, let me just say this. You know, the Lord wants us to stay flexible and open to revelation. That's really what this is all about. He wants to give us these new directions. He wants to give us wisdom for our situation, okay? Because you know what? One of our human qualities or characteristics, really, a better way to say it, is that we think that if we've done something before, that we automatically know how to do it the next time around. Oh, yeah, I did it this way, right? Let's just say, going back to the financial situation, that you know, were in a bind, you know, a while ago in your life, and the solution at that time was for you to get a second job or even a third job, right? So we assume, when it comes around again, when that situation arises again, okay, I know what I did. You know, I just went out and I got another job. I got a second job or I got a third job, right? When instead, the Lord is saying, would you let me show you a way that you hadn't thought of? And that's what this is talking about. He wants us to not be depending on our own understanding, our own, you know, experience. Because, yeah, experience is valuable, but it can also become a trap. you know. Because again, I know how I did it the last time, so, and it worked the last time, so I'm going to do it this way again. He's saying, don't assume that. Don't assume that the answer that you had in the past is going to be necessarily the answer that he has for you in this season, okay? And think about this. When you look at all the different healings that Jesus did, you know, in the Gospels, that are recorded in the Gospels, isn't it amazing how many different ways he used to heal people? Some he simply touched, others he spoke to. You know, on a couple occasions he really went out on a limb and he made clay with his spit, or he touched, you know, a man's tongue with his saliva from his own tongue. I mean, he just, you know, it almost seemed like he was looking for, he had that woman that just simply touched his coat and she was healed, right? I mean, he just was never trapped in a mindset that said, well, you know, I know how to heal, so I'm just going to do it the same way I've always done it. No, he was in constant touch with the Father, so he knew what was the best way to effect a healing. There were times when he had to take the person out and away from the crowd because he didn't want their unbelief to hinder what God wanted to do in that person's life. So we just got to realize that the Lord really wants us to experience his love and his grace. See, when I try to do things based on my experience, based on my wisdom, I'm actually saying that I don't need the Lord. I'm okay, God, I got this. I know what to do. See, and you know, he just wants to be in that kind of relationship with us where he wants to pour into us. He wants to release wisdom. He wants to release revelation. And so we've got to move away from this attitude of, okay, I think I know what to do here, right? So, and what he wants us to have the joy of discovering his creativity. He wants to express that through us in dealing, you know, with the problems and even the things that have been like a bondage to us. He just wants us to experience that. So how do we do this acknowledging thing? It says, in all your ways acknowledge him. Well, this is so cool because the word here in the Greek actually refers to an experience. We're not talking about simply, you know, saying, oh, okay, God, I know you're there. Right? Don't assume here that the word acknowledge just simply means to mentally say, okay, God, thanks for being here. You know, no, this word actually implies that we have an encounter with the Lord in this situation, whatever it might be. He wants us to encounter his presence. He wants us to experience him in a very real way. Look, he is there. He is with us every moment. Yet, we often go through our circumstances and our situations as if he's really not there, right? We don't think about him in the midst because we just do what we do. But he's saying, no, I want you to experience my presence in everything that you go through, because it's then that we're able to see him release his presence, and it's like we partner with him so that he can release his presence and his power into that situation, into those circumstances. And so that's the blessing. So he's saying to us now, I want you to position yourself to acknowledge me in every situation and come into agreement with me. Do you ever think that when Jesus said, where two or more agree about anything that they ask, it shall be done by my Father, have you ever stopped to think that we can do that with the Holy Spirit? He's a person. So it's possible for us to say, Lord, I come into agreement with you, Holy Spirit, about this, so that what the Lord's promised, what the Lord's declared, what the Father's declared will actually come to pass in my life. And so by acknowledging him and saying, Lord, I need an encounter with you right now in the midst of my situation, right? I don't have money that I need to pay the bills. You promise that you're a provider. So Lord, I'm coming to you right now and I need an encounter with you this very moment because I need your presence. I need your wisdom. I need your revelation in order for me to know what I am to do so that you can make your word come to pass in my life, so that you can cause this promise to be fulfilled in me. See, he's asking us to position ourselves. And then it says, you know, that he will make our paths straight. And here's where it gets so powerful, that when we start to trust him, right, with all our heart and all of our situations, right, and in all of our ways, we now say, God, I want to have an encounter with you. I want to experience your presence. He begins to release that, and he begins to now make our paths straight. Before, we might have been doing all kinds of zigzags because we thought we knew what we were doing. We thought we knew how to go. We thought we knew the proper direction and the proper, you know, path to take. He's saying, no, I want to make your paths straight. I want to say to you, here is the path. Walk in it. And don't you know that when God creates a path, it's going to be the best way. It's going to be the easiest way. Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He wants us to walk in such a way that he's carrying all the weight, right? But you see what happens, right? He's carrying the weight, and we say, no, you know what? I'm going to go this way, Jesus. And so he says, okay, it puts the weight on us because we're now not walking where he wants to go, all right? So, you know, he says, come on back. Let me walk with you. I'll take the weight. You just walk with me. It's going to be fun. So what does this look like? Well, this idea of making straight and you know, letting God establish the path for you. Well, if we look in some other scriptures real quickly as we bring this to a close today, Psalm 16:11, the psalmist writes this, you will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forever. See, this is when you know you are on the right track. Because when we walk that way, we are in his presence. In his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures evermore. We get to experience the benefits of walking with him in that place of manifesting his presence in and around us. Okay? It's like we're hitting the easy button, and it's a whole lot more fun than the way we were doing it before. But now look at this, Psalm 139 and verse 3, very powerful scripture here. It says, you scrutinize my path and my lying down and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Right? This is David writing this. And this word scrutinize, very interesting, because in the Hebrew, you have in this word a picture of winnowing or sifting. Okay? Now, for those of us that don't live on a farm, what they would do back then is they would take the grains of wheat and they would beat them and then they would throw them in the air and the wind would come along and it would blow the lighter outer husk called the chaff. It would blow that away and the heavier wheat germs, you know, the seeds themselves would fall to the earth where they could then be picked up and put into containers. So that's how they separated out the outer husk from the actual wheat seed, by, you know, hitting it and then throwing it up to the wind. And this scripture, this word here is telling us that what the Lord wants to do is he wants to remove the things that are not necessary, that are dead, that are distracting us, right? All this outward stuff that has been part of the problem in terms of getting us out of his timing. He wants to totally remove that so that now we're free to actually pursue the things that he has for us in the direction that he has for us. Our focus will become sharper, more clear. Okay? He wants to make this the reality for us as we go through this process of repositioning. That's really what it's saying. When the disciples invited Jesus into the boat, this is what they, whether they realized it or not, this is what they were doing. They were saying, okay, Jesus, we just trust you with all our heart. We thank you for coming to be here with us now, Lord. We acknowledge you. We thank you for your presence. You know, be Lord again, and bam, a miracle happened that transported them out of that storm to the other side that they had intended to get to in Capernaum. So what I'd like you to do is I'd like you, if you're able to now, obviously if you're driving, this might be a little more difficult, but I'd like you to think for a moment about one particular area in your life where you feel that you've really lost progress. You haven't really been able to get anywhere in that particular area. And I know Holy Spirit, He's so faithful. He's highlighting for you that particular area this very moment. And so I want you now to just say to Him, Lord, I give you this area and I invite you into my situation. I come into my boat, Lord, because I'm tired of rowing. I am tired of rowing. And I want you just to, for a moment, just say to Him, Lord, I repent for any decisions, for the decisions that I made that were obviously not wise, you know, and I want you to come and save me from myself. You know, I want to now begin to see you and to see my situation in your, you know, in your, from your perspective, so that you're free now to realign me with your eternal timeline. And so do that. I want you to pray through Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, the scripture that we just went through, and just begin to pray that and say, Lord, I you know, come before you right now, and I trust you with all my heart. I'm not going to lean on my understanding, Lord. In all my ways, God, I want your presence. I want to encounter you in every area of my life. And I want you now to just come and winnow my path, scrutinize it, remove the stuff that's keeping me bound and keeping me from moving forward. And I'm coming to you today so that you will realign me. And I say to you today, that if you approach the Lord and position yourself like this, that what the Lord has shown me is that is exactly what He's doing. I declare to you today prophetically that He is supernaturally accelerating you and transporting you and shifting you to cause you to come now into alignment with His eternal timeline for you, so that you will have lost nothing, so that nothing will have been wasted. The Lord says, I will bring you into that season of your greatest fruitfulness in me as you continue to walk with me in this way. So be encouraged as we begin a new year. And if you're watching this at some other time or hearing this at some other time during the year, it's really not, you know, a year end or year beginning message. This is a now word that the Lord is releasing to His kids for this time and season that we're in. And this season, I don't know how long this season will last, because, you know, let's be real, there's a lot of stuff the Lord needs to do in all of our hearts to really get us to where we're consistently releasing His presence and His kingdom into the circumstances around us, as in heaven, so on earth. So thank you so much for spending this time with me as I've tried to share this with you. Please feel free to comment and send me some feedback from our website, heavensinvasion.com. I'd love to hear from you. If there's anything that we can be praying for you about and standing with you, please, you know, let me know that as well. We're here to serve. We want to see folks get set free to really walk in all that God has for them. One other resource that I can let you know about is our dreamsnetwork.tv website. We have hundreds of hours of teaching and training materials that you can take advantage of. It's dreamsnetwork.tv. So give that a check out as well. And thank you again. It's been a real pleasure and blessing to just spend this time with you in the presence of the Lord. Bless you.